And so we're going to talk about standing on the promises of God. Probably remember that old song, standing on the promises of God, right? And we are. We're standing on the promises of God. And I believe that we are making moments for our kids, for the kids that come here, whether they're your children or they're children in the community, that we are creating opportunities by the power of Christ for these kids, that these memories, that what we're doing here will last a lifetime. I truly believe that. I remember Corrine said to me, she said one year that she never had this much fun at Vacation Bible School. And it was a testimony to, again, the joy that can be had in knowing Christ. That knowing God doesn't have to be boring, it doesn't have to be cumbersome, and, oh, I gotta go to church, oh, I gotta be, right? That it's supposed to be joyful. And the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. And when we give our all for His kingdom, I believe that He takes that raw passion that we talked about last week, that excitable energy, and He changes us. And I believe this week we have the potential to change the trajectory of our children's lives. Now, I speak in faith, and I believe, how do we do it? Now, obviously, through faith. But I believe Mark Batterson, he said in this book, in his book, Play the Man, that we are to do acts of intentionality. And do me a favor, click on that hope for one more time. that we are to be intentional, which is point number one. Pastor Mark compares these acts of intentionality. Do you ever see the 4x100 meter dash, right? The one with the baton, that's why they call it four, right? Because there's the first runner and then they take the baton and they pass it to the next runner. Now, do they do this? They run and then, hey, here you go. Keep going. No, right? There's actually a technique to it, right? So as this person's coming, this person even begins to jog, right? To then receive the baton, take it, and then run forward. Right? I remember this in elementary school, remember in junior high. Well, Mark Batterson said one of his most embarrassing sports moments in his life. He was in junior high, of course, right? That's when all embarrassing moments happen in your life, right? But he's in junior high, and he's getting ready to take the baton, and he's looking back, and he drops the baton. And of course, by the time he picks it back up, everything, they lose the race. But, you know, he makes this point that we don't give our children a running start because we don't know how to hand off our faith. What we know about life and love and the Lord. And we need to be intentional about that, right? Intentional about our faith. And that handoff that needs to go to the next generation. So even if you don't have children, maybe you're single, maybe you don't have kids, maybe now you have grandkids. The question is, are you going to be intentional about sowing into the next generation? And what are you going to do that? What opportunities are you going to look for to be intentional to sow into this next generation? Here at Mitchell Assembly, one of our key components, I believe, as part of our DNA is family first. With that said, your whole family should be active in ministry. If every time you want to go do something fun, you go, hey kids, we're gonna not go to church today. We're gonna go do something fun. You're speaking volumes to them. And things are caught more than taught, aren't they? No, I'm not saying people don't ever go on vacation or anything like that. I just want, we need to be careful that our pendulum swings the direction of ministry with togetherness, doing ministry together. It's fun. And I want to be a part of it with you. And we're going to do it together. That's what Royal Rangers is about and girls' ministry is about, right? You take your grandkids with you, you take your kids with you, and you say, let's have fun together learning about Jesus. Let's go do the oil change outreach together. Let's go do this together, right? We don't just parse out. I think family and ministry sometimes get parsed out. Have you ever seen the single mom that she's doing all this ministry stuff and she's ignoring her family, right? Or she's doing all this family stuff and ignoring ministry. Both are bad, right? Because we need both. We need to do it together, right? And so we need to be intentional about that. I love that my kids get stoked about VBS. One of my children watches the worship videos and is doing the hand signals and says, "We got to watch it again. We got to watch it again," right? And I don't want you to be guessing now who it was, but we need to watch it again. And so now I'm the one that put it on the first time. And I said, "Guys, let's get together and let's do this, right? We're going to learn them." But they're the one that says, "I want to watch it again. I want to watch it again. I really want to get this down." Right? And that's when they really catch it, right? When it's not just you doing the, "Let's do this together," then they go, "Hey, can we do this some more?" And you might be tired of it. You're like, "Oh, we already saw it three times. I mean, come on, how many times can you do this?" Okay? But if they're excited about it, get excited about it with them. Do it with them. You know, one of the tragedies is when your kid or somebody that you're mentoring starts getting excited about the Bible and goes to you and goes, "Hey, I found this scripture you want to see. I'm so excited about it." And you're like, "I know that one already." Well, good for you. Get excited with them, right? Don't stand in piety and, "Oh, I know that one. I've actually read the whole Bible." Right? Who cares? If your point is to then pour into them, and if they're getting excited and you are not fanning the flame, but you're muzzling it, you are not kindling it, you're doing something wrong. Right? We're to be intentional. And when we see that excitement, we need to blow that fire, right? It needs more oxygen. Let's make it happen more. And guess what? You guard that fire from other winds that are going to blow it out, right? Maybe a brother or sister that are angry at God or that don't want anything to do with God, you block them from that, right? You go right now. You know what I mean? You block, you guard that excitement that they have for Jesus. We need to be protectors, right? And part of being protective is being protective of that fan of flame that's going on in their lives. And so we need to do that. We need to be those kind of people. And so, man, that makes me glad. When I see my kids catch that, it's intentional. It's intentional. And this week, you can grow in your faith by being more intentional and stewarding moments where you can pour into your child's life. I want you to think about your parents, and I want you to think about the wisest thing that they ever said, or just things that really dropped in you and lasted a long time, for good or for bad. But let's think on the good. And they said something that just really hit you. You know what? That was probably a moment that they didn't plan, but when they were in the moment, they said, "Holy Spirit, help me." Right? They said, I want to drop this into their heart, into their mind. Right? And it spoke to you. So sometimes you plan an event, but sometimes you're just in the midst of life and it's going, but God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear when that moment hits. And I can deposit that truth because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the opportunity to disciple someone. I don't want to miss the opportunity to drop that Holy Ghost empowered jewel, that nugget of truth. I don't want to miss it. And so many times just in our lives, we get busy. We get busy and we miss opportunities. Not because we don't want to mentor. It's not because we don't want to pour into people's lives. It's because we're just too busy to do so. Right? So we need to always be intentional and we always need to say, "Hey, I'm going to look for those moments." Secondly, we need to pray out the promises of God. So first is be intentional. Second is pray out the promises of God. Pastor Mark prays this prayer over his kids, and about 4 years ago, I started praying over my kids the same prayer. It's an adaptation from Luke 2:52. It says, "May you grow in wisdom and stature in favor with God and with man." It's a simple prayer, but I pray that over my children. May you grow in wisdom and stature. How many of you know that we always need to grow in wisdom, right? Now, your kids need to get a little taller, too, don't they, in stature, right? You're like, "You are so small for your age." No, I grow in stature, but that's more spiritual stature, right? It's not just a tall guy or girl, and in favor with God and with man. You can pray out favor for your grandkids, for your kids. I pray favor over them. What's favor? They didn't earn it, but God gave them favor in the situation. They were at the bottom of the pile, but God took them and put them at the top of the pile. When my younger brother David was going for his job, he was going out of state to get that job, and he was basically at one of the bottom rungs on in that pile of resumes. And something just moved that person to take his and put it on the top and read it. And he got the job. That's the favor of the Lord. That's the favor of the Lord. Now we got to pray that our kids don't become so used to the favor of the Lord. They think that they're all that in a bag of chips, right? You don't want that. But again, you do want favor upon them. Are you praying it out for them? Are you praying that out for this generation? Are you praying that out for the people that you're discipling? That may they have favor of the Lord. May they grow in stature and in wisdom and favor with God, first of all, and with man. When you pray for your kids, for your grandkids, for this upcoming generation, pray over them the promises of God. My question next is, do you know the promises of God in His Word? I find that many Christians are biblically illiterate. Yeah, you read through the Bible, that was 20 years ago. And oh, I can't handle the thee and thou, switch a version. And if you have trouble reading through the list of he begat them and they begat them, listen to it while you're reading. A lot of times when I'm reading the Bible, I have my Bible app and I'm listening to it and reading it. Because then I'm getting it orally, right? And then I'm also getting it as I'm looking at it, as I'm seeing it, right? And so it's optically as well that I'm taking these things in. And so we need to know the Word of God to pray out the promises of God. I pray that my kids would be givers. I pray that they would be generous with their time, their talents, their giftings, and yes, when they get a part-time job, their funds, or even allowance money, right? Whatever you can work to show, hey, this is us giving as a family of our time, of our talents. See, I always begin with time and talents because people think giving and they automatically go to money. And they're like, I give, I tithe to the church. Yeah, but you're never here for any function, right? You're not here for this or that or the other thing. Like, your presence is a present, right? And so it's not just our finances. It's all of us. It encapsulates all of who we are. And to go along with this, I can pray out what Paul prayed out for the Philippians. He says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But guess what? And I remember the old song, remember this probably from like 80s and 90s, but it went, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I went to this guy that's a prophet from England. And he's going, no, he won't. No, he won't, actually. He won't provide your promise. He won't provide your needs. If you're not like the Philippians. So you can't claim a promise that you never do. That's conditional. And you got to be that part before you can claim the other. Right? And it made me remember because he's British. Okay, but again, it's so true, right? Again, we've got to be both parts. Before we can claim that promise over our kids, we got to pray that they're givers, that they're generous with their time, their talents, their giftings. My God will supply their needs when they carry themselves with that kind of character. He will. I'm sure of it. He will. I pray for God's great supply to be lavished on them in this wonderful promise. I pray for my children to be faithful to the call of God upon their lives. In fact, one of my children's names means faithful. We named him Faithful, right? And we believe in meanings of names are pretty powerful. And Psalm 18, this is NIV version, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure. But catch this. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Okay? With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Let's take a look at this psalm, Psalm 18. The interesting part is that when people act devious, the Lord shows sharp judgment towards them. He's shrewd with them. God brings justice on their devious actions. This psalm is full of blessings and it's full of prayers. God will show himself faithful to your children as they show his godly character in their lives. So we can pray, God, I pray that they would show the godly character that then would warrant, right, the blessings that are in this promise. Now, there's unconditional promises, the unconditional love of God, right? That he loved us and died for us when we were sinners, when we were far away from God. He came and he died for us. He didn't wait for us to get good. He died for us. And we can believe that promise. But guess what, too? Your kids, this next generation, these that we're sowing into and pouring into, they've got to grab onto that promise. And part of that promise is making him Lord and Savior of their life, right? Saying, God, you be my king. You be my Lord. You be my boss. And so I pray not only for my kids' salvation. Is this, it says in here that God's salvation, right, would come to them. But I pray not just for their eternal salvation, that's the big one, but salvation in tough circumstances and difficulties that they're going to face. I pray God would turn their dark situations to light. I pray that God would give them raw courage to do the seemingly impossible. Where does it say that in this verse? With your help, God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Right? I can take on seemingly unbeatable odds. And in my heart, courage is going to well up inside. I pray that for my kids. Courage would well up inside of them. But this is not only the prayer for my kids. This is the prayer for all these kids that are coming to Vacation Bible School. That they would have the character of God built up in them. That they wouldn't just say a prayer that says, Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. But that we would help form their character. That we would be the examples of Christ-likeness to them. And that he would do the work in and through their lives. But that's my prayer for them. I pray that not only that he would be, that they would be a dwelling place for the Most High. I pray that they would become strong men and women of God who are faithful, blameless, pure, humble, courageous. Don't we need a generation like that? Don't we need to be those people that are humble, that are courageous, that are pure, that are blameless, that are faithful? Let's pray these kinds of prayers, and let's pray for opportunities of intentionality to model these characteristics in front of them. Let's make priorities that echo our generosity and our acts of love. We want our kids to have courage to do what was right. Recently, I've read about, again, we're doing a lot of Play the Man with Mark Batterson, and he talks about John the Baptist, and again, his father is Zechariah, and this is such good stuff that I want to share with you today. And that, when you think about John the Baptist, and you think about his father Zechariah, we first think, oh, he's the one that was made mute because he didn't believe, right? And then God opened up his mouth when he wrote out John. Oh man, Zechariah, you really blew it. Right? But let's not just look at one action where he didn't believe and then say, oh, we're good to go, right? We're good to go with that. Let's look at John the Baptist and Zechariah and the parent relationship here and the prayers that Zechariah prayed. John not only did this calling a nation to repentance, right? We call him John the Baptist because he did what? He baptize people, right? In fact, huge numbers of people. In fact, he would kind of like, you know how, I don't want to degrade it in any way, but you know how you run an exercise class and everybody's doing the movements? When we went to Israel, our professor said that he would actually sometimes just lead the whole crowd in them going down three times and coming back up. Fully immersing, coming back up. Fully immersing, coming back up. Isn't that interesting, three times? There's a lot to three, right? 3 days Jesus was in the grave and then arose out, and we use that comparison. But he would lead them. I mean, it was an exercise, but they would actually go, all right, and one, All right, I'm two. I feel the burn. No, I'm just joking. But so you know, some would say, you know, that this was John's biggest contribution was baptism. Or some would say the biggest contribution that John did was leading a whole nation to repentance. But you know what shored that up? His godly character. You know what shored it up? The fact that he morally stayed strong when Herod, who was a Jewish man, married his brother's wife, and he said, that's wrong. Now, Herod, by declaring that he's a Jewish person, is declaring that he's a follower of Yahweh. So guess what? He's declaring he's in the group that we're supposed to hold accountable. I think a lot of times in church we think we can't hold brothers and sisters accountable. Don't judge me. We'll even do the little Z. Don't judge me. All right? I made a Z. Isn't that awesome? Not to you, it's on the flip side, but I'd have to more do this. All right, so, but point being is that we're all about don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. When you're in the community of faith, you're saying, hold me accountable. You're saying, help me to grow. You're saying, I want to be a part of this family. I know it's a little dysfunctional, because every church is dysfunctional, right? And we're hoping to get better at that, and we're shooting for that, and we're being examples of what Christ looks like. But again, we got sin nature, right, and all this jazz, right? But again, we say, hold us accountable. And so John holds Herod accountable. He says, you're in the wrong. And he says, okay, well, you're going to jail. You're going to recant? You're going to say, I'm not anymore? And I think the greatest thing that John the Baptist did was hold his moral ground until the day he lost his head. He did a lot of amazing ministry. He did a lot of amazing things. He spoke boldly for Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was the first to declare it. Oh, look at that, the Lamb of God. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. But I would say one of the greatest things that held up his ministry was the moral courage he had when facing adversity. And I believe that we need to pray those same kind of prayers for our kids. We pray safe prayers, don't we? We pray safe prayers. I mean, that's a lot of what prayers are, safe prayers, right? My kids traveling here. My friends going here. Let's pray for them. Should we pray those prayers? Sure. Yes, we should. Should we pray God binds a hem of protection around them? Yes, we should. But I think sometimes in all of our safety prayers, we don't pray prayers that say, God, when they get in the mix of difficulty because they're standing up for what's right, I pray that they would stand strong for you in courage and might and faithfulness and in strength. And if they have to go through a really hard time, so be it. Are we willing to pray those kind of prayers? Are we willing? Obviously, you don't want them going through that when they're 7 years old, or they're 10 years old, or even sometimes 15. You don't want to, but a parent never wants to see their kids going through a hardship, right? We want to rescue them. But where does their faith really become solid? When who becomes their rescuer? Jesus. When Jesus becomes their rescuer and he intervenes in the situation, and they've chosen to make the right decision to step out to be strong. And so we need to pray prophetic prayers, not necessarily safe prayers. What does Zechariah say about John? In John 1, 76 to 77, he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a path of peace. He says, I'm praying that my son would be a prophetic voice into this generation. And my question is for you, are you praying those kind of prayers? I pray my son would be a prophetic voice to the nations. I pray that they would speak volumes and mountains would be moved because they move out in the power of Christ. and his great love? Or do we go, my kid could never be that. I don't know if they're fit for that. God, you know, there are so many times where God will surprise us, right? He uses the most unlikely of people. He uses people that are introverts, like myself, that I used to be an introvert, and you probably don't believe that, but it's okay. He uses introverts like myself, and he makes me an extrovert. Not saying everybody has to. There's growth and there's strength in being introverts and being good with one-on-one with people and growing strength from just being in small groups. That's great. And I value that. I very much value that. But God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He uses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He uses the despised things, the lowly things. So before you stop praying for your child or for somebody in this next generation, count them out. Don't count them out, but pray them through. And pray prophetic prayers that speak boldly of who they will become in Christ. And what God can do in their life. And how he can turn things around. And what supernatural work can he work in and through his people. When his people will pray prophetic prayers. Let's model Christ-likeness in front of this generation. Let's teach them. Let's pray for them. And then let's show them what it means to be followers of Christ. This coming week, our volunteers are Jesus with skin on. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. And, you know, this sounds silly, right? Like, pray for courage. What are they going to topple me over? Right? Like, what are they going to do? Overspray me with water, Miss Gay, right? The games, right? What are they going to, are they just going to drive me crazy? Like, is that why I need courage? No, but again, pray for the strength, the intentionality, and the fortitude to be what we're praying for our kids to be every day, not just when we're doing VBS. But every day of the week, when you feel like you're on your last coin, when you feel like you're on your last bit of energy, when you feel physically, mentally, emotionally spent. I was talking to a friend recently, and they had some really bad past heavy hurts. And they asked me, how can you forgive those hurts that just seem so impossible to forgive? And I told them the story of Corrie Ten Boom. And when she was in the concentration camp and literally watched her sister die of malnutrition and the beatings and everything. And one of the guards came up to her at one of her conferences. And the Lord said, you need to forgive him. And she said, I don't have it humanly possible in my strength to forgive. But I will go over. Holy Spirit, I will go over. And I will respond to him. So she went on over and she said, I felt the most amazing love of God pour through my heart, pour through my mind. I didn't think it was possible, but the Holy Spirit moved on me and I hugged that man and I told him that I loved him and that Jesus loved him. That can only be Jesus. That has to be, it's impossible forgiveness. It's impossible strength, but the Lord will infuse you with that strength, but you have to take the steps to go over to the guard that you hate. You have to take the steps to go over to the person that you dread. And then you say, Holy Spirit, you've got this. I need your courage. I need your strength. See, courage is not displaying, hey, I'm courageous. I just want you to know, 24/7. Sometimes I wash my Superman shirt, but it is underneath there now. Right? Modeling courage is not walking around with a Superman shirt and ready to be courageous and carrying it in pomp. Courage is something that's forged in the heart, that takes time to develop, and that little steps and little wins build up to big wins. David, when he fought Goliath, it wasn't his first fight. He fought the lion, he fought the bear. He probably fought some little munchkins here around that weren't so tough to beat either. A sheep that wouldn't listen. Bah, come on. Bah, come on. You know? But again, we need to pray that. We need to act that. We need to live it. And how can you do it? You do it through the power of love. You big 80s fans, you don't need money. Don't need fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train, right? it's the power that makes the world go round. Huey Lewis thought he knew about love, but love is not elusive. Love is not just a feeling. God is love. God is love. In fact, in Lamentations 3, 22 to 24 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Guys, how do we do it? We plug into the power source. You can do it by plugging into the power source of the Lord, that love comes from our Maker. His love never runs out. His mercies never come to an end. We sing it, we read it, but do we really get it? And are we continually plugged into it? Because if I'm low, it's probably because I'm not plugged in. Right? Who faced that power outage that was just for a second in Mitchell? Anybody get that where your lights went out real quick and went back on? Our computer in our church has a little power source that we connect it to. And the electrician was doing stuff, and I thought he did it, and then I found out multiple people had that happen. And I was like, oh, okay. But if not for that power source, that computer could have had a problem, right? But that power source was, even in the midst of that problem, it pulled from that. Are we connected to the power source? Are we connected to Him? Again, God calls us to be faithful. He's called us to be the models that we need to be. But it's not drudgery. It's a joy, because we're following the greatest model in the world to show that faithfulness in us. And then He gives us that same supernatural Holy Spirit empowered life so we can live it out. This week, pray for us. When I was a kid, my parents sent me to a local church, and our church was small and we didn't have one. And I was a shy kid and I didn't know anyone there except one of my next door neighbors, and she wasn't too friendly. And so I'm sitting here by myself alone in the midst of this group. And there was the song, and some of you may have heard this before, but pat another back, pat a back next to you, pat another back and sing along. I hated that song, okay? Because this random kid came up to me and just started slamming my back as we're singing this song. And it just irritated me to no end. I remember the green board with the felt Jesus, and we put him on the board there. And I remember doing a craft. But, you know, I don't remember life change. I don't remember excitement. I don't remember joy. I just remember VBS. And my heart is to never have that for any kid that comes, is that they would feel the love of God, that they would feel the presence of God. Now, again, it's up to them how they want to react. If they want to be a stick in the mud, if they want to not engage, that's their fault and that's their problem. But I want to do everything I can, and we want to do everything that we can. I remember this pastor that I later met again, and he's singing the song with all gusto and smiles, and I'd probably been accused of being goofy before. Some would be like, why did you dye your hair? VBS, okay. And I like kids getting excited, and anything that can kind of get their attention is good for me. And so, again, this aspect of, so he's smiling, he's singing the song, and maybe if it was a different song, I don't know. But I remember meeting him later and seeing the true genuineness of his Christianity. And guess what? It brought me back to those days where he's smiling and he's singing and he's acting all goofy. But I saw his genuineness then and later. And that made a difference. And that made an impact on my life too. And so, again, we pray for all of them to be changed. But these are doors of opportunity. And like I said, I want more than that for these kids. I want them to feel the tangible presence of God. I want Christ's love to be so embedded in their hearts and make them come alive. I want them to never forget what God says about them. That's what I want. Your prayers are the desires that you have. You ever pray a list, but you have really no desire when you pray that? I pray for so-and-so that I've never met and don't know, and I'm going to forget after I pray. But I can check on my prayer list that I prayed for them. God will honor that, okay? He will honor your prayer of Olivia Newton-John, although you've never met her, but you've heard of her. Okay, but you're like, what? I'm just throwing out a name, okay? But you, the name passes your head and then you move on, right? But again, God wants your heart in your prayers. He wants you to care about what you're praying about, not to just cover a list, right? He wants you to care about the individuals that you're praying about. And so, again, the fifth thing and last thing here that I didn't even put up there, is, but it's important, is pray for you. Your singleness is a gift if you're single. You are a person that is going to be used by the Lord if you're in a family. Wherever you are, again, God cares about your needs. A lot of times when we think of prayer, we need, I can pray for everybody else, but I'm not going to pray for me, God. That's selfish. Guess what? You know, God wants you to know that He cares about you and He cares about the needs that you have. And that He cares about what you care about as well. And so that's my challenge this morning, is to plug into that great love, to be intentional, to be ones that model that Christianity. And to those of you, you know, maybe you're here and you've come to this church and you have turned away from God for a period of time, or you have not put Him first and you have not been intentional and you've not made Him the priority. And He's saying, I died for you. I love you. I died on that cross. I rose from the dead 3 days later. I have a purpose and a plan for you. I don't just have a purpose and a plan for this next generation. I have a purpose and a plan for you. And I believe that He would say, if you, and this is scripture, if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you would be saved. And so if you would bow your heads for this moment here in prayer, I want to pray with you. And as, if that's you, I ask that you would raise your hand. And I'm saying, hey, I want to pray with you. I want to together make that decision and say, Lord, I want to get on the right track with you. I want to go in that direction. I see that hand. Amen. And again, that what we're saying is, God, I am giving my life to you. I'm going to be who you're calling me to be, and I'm going to be found in you. And would you pray out and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again 3 days later. Thank you for living a perfect life, a sacrificial life, so that I could be with you now and in heaven for eternity. Thank you. And I give you my life. You're the leader of my life. You're the boss of my life. Come live inside of me. And give me that security as well. But I know that I know that I know that I'm found in you, and that I'm in the palm of your hand. And that, again, when I follow you, when I've said you have my life, I can have that assurance of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.